are now listening to the CRC Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adboso. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
Our live stream viewers, our first-time visitors, and of course our television audience, what a great honor and a great privilege to bring the Word of God right to you in your home where you are tonight. We know Jesus reigns. We know that God will touch you and you will never be the same, because God never leaves you where He finds you. So welcome tonight. We know that God has a divine appointment with you, and right here from Bloemfontein, where this revival began, we want to welcome you in the name of Jesus. Come on, give them all a big shout and a big welcome tonight. Well, I hope you're ready tonight, because who knows what's going to happen here tonight. Unbuckle your seatbelt. Don't fasten your seatbelt. I'm excited. I'm telling you, I've got a stirring in my spirit. God's doing something. God's up to something. God is quickening something. There's a stirring in the spirit, and I want to talk about that tonight. And then we're going to move in the spirit of God. Pray for people. So you better get ready. And I just want to say this as I start tonight. It doesn't help. I'm hungry for you. You can. If you sit in a restaurant for me, you have to order from the menu. Otherwise, you're going to watch me eat. So I hope you don't watch me eat tonight. I hope that you are hungry for God tonight. Come on, if anybody is hungry in this place tonight, shout amen and give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Not too loud now. Judges chapter 2, the Bible says, verse 7. So all the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Now Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old, and they buried him within the border of his inheritance, Timnath-Heres, in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gaash. When all that generation had gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor did they know the work which God had done in Israel. God's been talking to me about this generation alive on the earth, a generation in the church, but that is largely a sterile generation. And I believe by the power of God, I have to be very intentional to activate this next generation so they can understand the ways, the moods of the Holy Spirit. It's one thing to go on Google and get knowledge. It's another thing to build a relationship with God, to be a man, to be a woman that can pray and heaven opens. A lot of people are walking around on the sacrifice of a previous generation. I believe God's raising the greatest generation that this world has ever seen right now in the church before the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe it tonight, say amen. Come on there in Pretoria, here in Bloemfontein, and give the Lord a hand. I want you to lift your hand tonight and say this little prayer with me tonight. Say, Holy Spirit, I am here for you. Let your fire fall on me tonight. Burn in me your holy desire. Put your hand on your heart and say, touch me tonight, Father. Change me tonight, Father. Not my will be done, but your will be done. I'm not here to play Christianity. I'm here to serve you and to follow you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you tonight about a generation I believe God is wanting to birth in the earth today. I believe we're going to see the greatest doctors, the greatest lawyers, the greatest musicians, the greatest preachers, the greatest pastors, the greatest songwriters, the greatest politicians are going to be birthed in this hour in the church of Jesus Christ. And we, South Africa, we're not at the bottom. Amen. We're going to be at the top. You're going to be the top dog. You're not going to be the bottom dog. Say amen. So I want to preach tonight from 1 Kings chapter 18. And I want to read verse 22 and 30. And then 36 to 39. A time in the nation of Israel when a generation was not serving God, but a man Elijah. Verse number 20, the Bible says, Ahab sent all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, then follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. But the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left, a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450. Therefore, let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood and put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. Is there anybody who knows the name of the Lord? I want you to call on that name tonight over South Africa. Come on, because there is no God who can save like our God. There is no God who can heal. Oh, come on, who can heal like our God? There is no God who can deliver like our God. I don't care what the Constitutional Court says. We're going to preach Jesus louder. We're going to shout louder. We're going to turn our world upside down for Jesus Christ. Somebody shout amen and give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. You call on the name of your God, and we will call on the name of our God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourself and prepare it first, and for you are many. And call on the name of your God, and put no fire under it. So they took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from the morning until evening, saying, oh Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. No one answered. One believer with God can shape the history of a nation. Hallelujah. They leapt about the altar which they had made. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them aloud, saying, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he's meditating or he's busy. That literally says maybe he's sitting on the toilet, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he's sleeping and must be awakened. So they cried aloud and cut themselves as was their customs with knives and lances until the blood gushed out on them. And when the midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid any attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord. Underline that. The altar represents the presence of God. The altar represents the place of prayer, the place of communion, the place of sacrifice, and the place of service. The altar. When the altar is lost in a generation, then prayer wanes. Sacrifice becomes a curse word among those young people. An act of service goes out the door. So the first thing Elijah does is he challenges the people, and then he repairs the altar of the Lord, the place of communion, the place of sacrifice, the place where you press in to God. One thing to push Google and to get information, but you're not going to push a button and get to know God. You are going to have to restore the altar. You are going to have to repair the altar in your life and get back to Jesus Christ at the foot of the cross and build a relationship with God. Can you say amen tonight? Running ahead of myself. You repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Verse 36, it came to pass at the time of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came and came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, no longer Jacob, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I'm your servant, and that I've done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that the people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. The fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. One preacher said the problem with charismatics are they are so alive, they don't stay on the altar. They get off the altar before the fire of God falls. Although Jesus did everything, although Jesus died for you and you cannot buy your salvation, you still have to serve God at the altar and bring your sacrifice, your prayer, your offering, your service. You still have to press in if you want an encounter with God. Is a generation that is sitting in churches all across this land, very, very talented, all across our world. A generation that is very knowledgeable, but they don't know how to build an altar. They don't know how to pray and get the fire of God down. Oh, they'll get a lot of twitch when they say something, but nothing shifts in the realm of the Spirit. If we're going to build the greatest generation and the greatest move of God, we need to raise a generation that knows what it takes to get the fire of God down, that knows what it takes to get God in our world. Come on, in the name of Jesus. When God has a hold of your life, you may not be the most educated, the most eloquent. You may not have it all as people think you should have it all. But if God has a hold of you, when you open your mouth, things will be different. When you make a move, the world will sit up and pay attention like Elijah. Everybody was jumping around the altar, busy. Then Elijah said, draw near to me. And he repaired the altar of the Lord and he prayed. And the fire of God came down. I want to talk tonight, 4 points very quickly, what it will take this generation to get the fire of God down in their generation. Because we're not just talking about now. We're talking about your children and your children's children. Every revival stops two generations away, because our sons and daughters are born in the move of God, just like we read. Joshua, that was a son to Moses, spiritually speaking. But the generation that came after Joshua never knew God, and they never knew how to work the works of God. So we can all sit in church and we can all grow old together. And our sons and our daughters can grace our platforms. But the challenge is not now. The challenge is 20 years from now and 30 years from now, when Joshua and his generation are in heaven, when the great pioneers that brought the move of God to our earth is in heaven, that our children will teach our children's children about the move of God. And I want to tell you tonight that you cannot experience God's move on a second-hand revelation. You cannot encounter this God through your mother, through your father. You cannot encounter this God by the way. You have to encounter this God for yourself. You have to repair the altar in your own life. You have to become a seeker of God for yourself. You have to put up the alarm clock early in the morning and begin to press in and pray that you may know Him, as the Apostle Paul, as I did as a young man. As young people, we were on fire for God. We got saved at an early age. I was 1 month before I turned 18. I met the Holy Ghost. I was baptized in fire. You couldn't keep me quiet. 23, I pioneered my first church. 26, I built the first church in Lady Brand. We built it cash. We built it by faith. 29, I came back to Bloemfontein, and this movement of God started. A young man believing that we could do something, and with me a whole generation of 25-year-olds, 23-year-olds, 32-year-olds, many of them still in our church today, that pioneered this move. But in the last 23 years, we've seen God raise up many young men and many young women, and it's time for you to get closer to God. It's time for you to get serious with God. It's time for you to answer the call. It's time for you to dream big dreams for God. Oh, come on, in the name of Jesus, to believe that you can do something great for God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God is looking, God is looking, God is looking for a man. God is looking for a woman. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro. You may be a 17-year-old that gets serious with God, that says, I will not be mediocre. I will not be toned down. I will not fit in. I will not roll over. I'm going to stand out for God in my generation. Oh, come on. Somebody give the Lord a praise in the house. A lot of people that watch their parents, and they watch preachers like me on the platform, and they get inspired by preachers like us, and that's fine. But what about you? Who are you inspiring as a 21-year-old, as a 23-year-old? What are you activating? The disciples of Jesus were all under the age of 20. All of them. And He called them to turn the world upside down. Now you better watch. After the holidays, I have to rein back certain things, because after the holidays, I'm going to come like a storm to get a hold of people. I'm telling you, I'm going to get a hold of every 20-year-old, every 20-year-old, every 20-year-old. I'm going to get a hold of every teenager, every one of the tens of thousands, and we're going to see God raise up businessmen. God's going to raise up professors. God's going to raise up doctors. God's going to raise up sportsmen that are not ashamed. God's going to take people into the political arena at a young age that will not bow their knee to Baal. Come on, in the name of Jesus. God's going to raise up people supernaturally that will stand for Him in this hour, in the name of Jesus Christ. All you have to do is say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Use me. And God's going to use you. And God's going to raise you up. So four things quickly, if I can. Number one, to be this generation that God wants to raise up at this hour, this generation must answer the call of God. Are you listening to me tonight? Not sit on the sacrifice of the previous generation and be comfortable. Answer the call of God now for the future generations. I said to somebody the other day, I'm okay. I don't need more fire. I have enough fire for 5 lifetimes. Thank you. I said to some young people the other day, we're organizing special prayer meetings for young people. I'm saying, I'm not doing this for me. I got the fire. But you better get hungry. You better raise up your hand as a young businessman, as my brother did when he was 20 years old, and he sold black plastic bags, and he said, God, I want to finance your kingdom. God, I want to make a difference in my world. And God heard him, and his journey began. Every generation must answer the call. 1 Kings chapter 18, the challenge of Elijah was very clear. How long will you falter between two opinions? If God is God, then follow him. If not, then don't. It's like young people think they're young forever. I have news for you. When you see again, you're 23, then you're 25, then you're 30, and you still think, I'm going to do something for God. I thank God when I was born again, the fire of God hit me and I answered the call of God. Because when the fire of God gets a hold of you, you can never be the same again. When you pray to God and you say, here I am, God takes you serious. Everything changes about you when the fire of God gets a hold of you. You become uncomfortable to people who seek comfort. Every generation must answer the call. Because God calls every generation. Yes, through the previous generation. But the call to every generation is clear. Like young people think, I still, I'm only 21. I'll get serious with God later. I many of my friends were like that. They were called just like I was called. And their mindset was, I first want to do this. And when you talk to them again, it's 5 years later. I first want to do this. I first want to do this. 10 years later, I first want to do this. And sadly, many of them never answer the call of separation, whether it's ministry or business, to leave their mark, not on their generation only, but on the generations to come. People like Pastor Russell Evans, people that led me, he's my generation, but people like Rick Godwin, Charles Niemann, Tommy Barnett, Kenneth Hagin before them, those men stood bold in their generation. I made up my mind when I was a young man, I'm not just going to watch them. I'm not just going to watch them burn. I want to burn for God, even if it's in Lady Brand. I want to be on fire for God wherever I am. Even if I'm a home cell leader, I want to carry the fire of God in my generation and to my children. Oh, come on, somebody. Don't look at me like that. Give the Lord a praise as if you are on fire tonight. Every generation must answer the call. God has no orphans. He has no grandchildren. He reveals himself to every generation, and every generation must discover God and discover his purpose for their lives. The first thing, you have to answer the call like Paul on the road to Damascus, breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, asked letters from the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, with a man or woman, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Jerusalem. And suddenly, a light shone around him from heaven. There are moments where God wants to get your attention. And there are moments, maybe never to be repeated again. I said to a young man the other day, if God stirs the waters in your heart, it may be the first and last time that he does it. I've called many under the anointing of God to the ministry, and they walk the other way. Many that I knew God's hand was upon them and they walked the other way. When the angel stirs the water, it is the time for you to hear. I mean, God knocked Paul off his, or Saul off his horse. Moses was tending his father-in-law's sheep. He was a businessman. He had his life made. Although he was out of the will of God, he was okay. And on a particular day, the bush was burning. Now, the bush, Moses could have walked past the bush. It wasn't the bush, it was God in the bush. And think, well, I'll come next week to see if the bush is burning, or I'll come next year. And guaranteed, that bush would not have burned the next day, the next week, the next year. That bush burned for that moment and for that time. When Jesus called the rich young ruler to follow him, and he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions, he did not run after him. He moved on. And it's an aspect of God that many people miss, because they so camped at a place of tranquility and just wanting to feel loved. Now, can I settle it once and for all that God loves you unconditionally, that God loves you, and there is nothing you can do that will make God stop loving you. God loves you in spite of you. God loves you because of you. God loves you with a never-ending love, and we should all be secure in the love of God, but we cannot stay there. We have to move on. Doesn't it help I tell my daughter every day of my life, oh, Daddy loves you. You don't ever have to do anything. I love you. Just sit and soak. I love you. You don't have to tithe. You don't have to pray. You don't have to sacrifice. I love you. The truth is, I love her. But as a responsible father, I have to teach her. that you have to get up, girl, and you have to walk. Otherwise, you will not develop your leg muscles. You have to get up, girl, and educate yourself. You have to get up, girl, and go do what you don't want to do. That's where we sit in this world, in this generation. That they want to hear good news, and everything is good news. But they don't want to allow that good news to cultivate a spirit of Christ, which is a spirit of humility and a spirit of sacrifice, which in turn, out of love, gives everything back to God. So it's all about me. I come to church to be loved, and I leave church feeling loved. The rest of the world, the rest of the week, it really doesn't matter what is happening in my world. And if this does not change, we will have a generation many years from now, like we have in Europe. Wherever there were revival, you can go study history. You will see, if you go to Europe, if you go to parts of Asia where Paul ministered, that's where the move of God started. Today, you have buildings that are empty. There's no move because people were not intentional to teach generations about your place in history, your sacrifice, your altar, you drawing close to God, you doing what the flesh does not want to do. You're not sitting on the sacrifice of previous generations. I know a lot of things are happening in my life because of the prayers of other people, because of the sacrifices of other people. But I know enough about God that I have to, when the baton is in my hand, I have to run, because I'm not running for myself. I mean, we could have camped in Lady Brand. We could have camped in that little building. So what we do is way beyond ourselves. It's for you, the next generation. My question is, what about the generation that still is not even born that will come after you? What testimonies do you have? What stories do you have? I was an 18-year-old, I had stories. A 21-year-old, I had stories. A 23-year-old, I had stories. A 26-year-old, I had stories. A 29-year-old, I had stories. A 52-year-old, I had stories of God's faithfulness every year of my life. Somebody shout amen. Oh, give the Lord a praise. Don't get quiet on me. So when God gets your attention, you have to take it very serious. Not religiously, but you have to take it serious. You have to separate yourself and say, what are you saying, God? Because if He's stirring your heart, it's because He wants to accomplish something through you. It's one thing for a man to visit God. It's another thing when God visits you. It's one thing when you try and get God's attention. It's another thing when God gets your attention. And I hope you're smart enough that when you feel the stirring of the water, you go out of this zone, which is your mind, your intellect, and your comfort. And you throw yourself at the altar. And you say, speak, God. Thy servant hears, like Samuel, a 12-year-old. What is it that you want from me, Jesus? What is it that you want from me, Jesus? And this is what happens to Paul. He's persecuting the church. He's going his own way. And God puts His hand upon him suddenly and changes his entire destiny. But watch this. Suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Every generation has to discover Jesus for themselves. You cannot discover Jesus through your father. Your father can lead you to Jesus, but you have to discover Jesus for yourself. Cannot even follow Him on the commitment of your parents. You have to follow Him on your own revelation. And once you see Him, everything else takes second place. Once you really see Him, everything takes second place, and your heart will cry the next thing that Paul cries. And he says, what is it that you want me to do for you? I mean, today we're good at praying prayers and say, Lord, do this for me, bless me, help me come first, help me build a business, help me, help me, help me, help me. Not Paul. Paul was at the top of his ladder. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a successful man, a very learned man. He encounters Jesus and he realizes he is nothing without Christ. And he prays the most important prayer that any human being can pray. The second most important prayer is, number one, who are you, Jesus? A true revelation of Jesus is what defines you and what changes you for life. A true revelation where you discover Jesus for yourself and Jesus becomes your everything. Not a religion, not part of your way, not a Sunday experience. Jesus becomes everything. Your way, your truth, your life, your breath, your Alpha, your Omega. He becomes everything. And when that happens, the next thing that you pray is, Lord, what is it you want to do? What is it that you want me to do? I used to pray every night at my bed. I used to pray because the fire of God fell upon me. I was studying law, and after I did my military service, I mean, when I got saved radically. I didn't get half saved. I didn't sit on the fence, because the fence belongs to the devil. There is no middle way with God. When I got saved totally. I gave myself to Jesus totally, and I prayed every night. I knelt, and I still think it's a good thing for young people to kneel. Not to get so comfortable with God, kneel. Bend your knee and kneel at the foot of your bed. Kneel before the throne of God. And I used to cry out to God and say, God, I want to serve you. If I cannot serve you, I don't even want to live. I don't want to breathe. I don't want to exist. If I cannot go into the ministry, I do not want to exist. That was the cry of my heart. What is it, God, that you want me to do? What is it that you want for me? Because everybody had an opinion. My dad had an opinion. My dad's desire for me was to study law, to be an advocate. And I thought I want to go in politics. But God had other plans. And as I prayed to God, seeking God, I became dull to the voices of other people, because sometimes people have good intentions, but they interfere with God working in you. And I shut every voice out until God settled my heart that this is my plan for your life. I'm asking you tonight, have you prayed that prayer without your ideas, without your preconceived ideas? Because you will never answer the call of God until you get to the place of discovering who Jesus is. And then casting yourself upon that rock where you become broken. Not a word we want to hear in the church today. But the Bible says you either throw yourself on the rock and you become broken, or one day that rock will fall on you and grind you to powder. You throw yourself on the rock and you become broken, and then God builds you. And God puts His purpose in your life. And God puts His desire in your life. And God puts His fire in your life. And your life becomes a mission. Whether you're a doctor, a sportsman, a politician, an architect, an engineer, an accountant, a housewife, a teacher, an investor, it doesn't matter. Your life is consumed by the person of Jesus and by the purpose of God for your life. Then getting involved in the local church does not become an issue. Giving your tithe and your offering does not become an issue. Sitting and tipping the offering basket, but giving generously into the movie house is not your way of life. Your way of life is Jesus is my all. Come on, if he's your all tonight, stand to your feet and give him the loudest praise that you can right now across this country. Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Lift your voice and give him praise like you haven't done before. Lift your hands and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Come on, pray, 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 pray for a moment. Right there where you are. Pressing to God for a moment. Not my will, but your will be done, Father. Not my will, but your will be done, Father. I want to tell you that God is not impressed by our yesterday, because he's calling us into our tomorrow. There are great things that God has for you, but you have to answer. You have to answer. You have to answer. You have to answer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know how to express what I feel in my spirit. It's very often difficult, because I told you what I experienced in 94 at the birth of this church, I'm experiencing again. It's like a turmoil in my spirit, but it's not a bad turmoil. It's a holy turmoil. God is positioning his church for the future. And if you can only hear and cast yourself with holy abandonment. Serve him as if he is everything. Discover him as everything. At a young age, I got a revelation that I will stand before Jesus one day. First, I got saved and I was in shock, because I realized how almost I'd gone to hell. Many young people that have been raised in Christian ways think it's okay just to continue. And it's not okay. Because although you've been raised as a great generation, you've been pampered. You've been mollycoddled. And you yourself also have to cast yourself upon the rock. In spite of all the praises of your father, your mother, all the people in your life that try to protect you and nurture you, which God has used to nurture Moses, to be a great man of God, a great woman of God, you yourself have to cast yourself upon Him and allow Him to remake you and speak to you as the final authority in your life. Because what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he stands before Jesus one day and you were successful down here in the world, and Jesus said, but your ladder was against the wrong wall. Everybody praised you, you were successful, you were great at what you were doing, but that's never why I placed you on this earth. I placed you on this earth for this, to be a businessman to finance my kingdom, or to be a preacher to take the gospel to the nations. I placed you on this earth with purpose. So here Paul discovers his purpose. He answers the call of God. He's running this way. A Pharisee of the Pharisees, he's persecuting the sect, the Christians in those days, as he perceived. But God has other plans with him, as I believe God has with every one of our lives. Until the day we have that divine encounter, we will all be busy with many good ideas and many plans, and many of them are good things. But I believe every young person has to have a crossroads, has to have a day where you settle it in your spirit. Why am I alive? Although I'm part of a generation, who am I in this generation? Who am I? What is my role, my purpose? And the only place you'll discover that is at the altar of sacrifice, pressing into God. We're not going to get there. Pressing in. An art that young people have forgotten. Pressing in. Spending time in the presence of God. Praying in tongues. Doing what many people call works of the law. But they're not works of the law. They are works in the Spirit. It's a big difference. When we do things in the Spirit and by the Spirit. When we pray in the Spirit. When we travail in the Spirit. When we labor in the Spirit. It's a huge difference between trying to be justified by the law. I think we get confused between justification by the law and acts of sacrifice, because we love our Savior so much that we sacrifice not to get anything from Him, but because there is a world out there that needs our time, our talent, and our treasure. And for this move of God to go where God wants it to go, I believe that this generation has to answer the call and decide that God is God, that not money, not fame, not success will do it for me. The only thing that will do it is God. Can you say amen and give Him a praise? Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, that's a weak little clap. You're not clapping for me. We clap for Jesus in this church. Hallelujah. Although God is not a secret, you will not find Him unless you seek Him. You will not encounter Him unless you press into Him. You will not reach the depth of the ocean unless you walk through the shallow waters and swim into the depth of the ocean. I feel the presence of God in this place, and in a moment we're going to begin to pray for people. But I want to tell you that there is a stirring by the Spirit sitting here tonight. Many young people, you're going to be 85 years old as well. God called Caleb, and really what I'm trying to do is get people's attention, not preach a sermon. I'm trying to get your attention to hear if it resonates in your spirit that there is a stirring. And if you find that stirring, you have to repair the altar, and you have to yourself, without your mother, without your wife, without your friend, you yourself have to go build an altar at the foot of your bed and go on your knees and begin to cry out to God and begin to pray. Not a quick little prayer. Begin to pray. Begin to see God. See God. Till God puts His hand on you. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about an encounter where God deals with you. Even the Apostle Paul, after his encounter with Jesus, God sends Ananias to him to disciple him. And then God takes Paul 14 years out of circulation to teach him. 14 years he sought God before he comes with his revelation. Maria has an encounter and he just preaches. He has an encounter, he shares with everybody, and then he goes for 14 years pressing into God to get to know this God before he could speak about this God. A lot of people who want to talk about God who don't know him. Because they never spent the 14 years in the wilderness. They never spent time alone pressing in to God. So they want to read somebody else's book and re-preach it. And there is no power, no life, because they carry no revelation. You will not build a great marriage in one day. You build a great marriage over a lifetime. You will not get to know God in one day. You get to know Him, Genosko, by pressing into Him. By pressing into Him more than anything else. Not watching Moses press into the presence of God and see a great man of God stand on the platform and you're struck with awe because you see something on the man's life and you tweet and you become a fan of that man, but you have no relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to get you anywhere else. As men of God, we're not here to make you our fans. We're not here to see how many likes or dislikes we get. We are here to inspire you to have your own personal relationship with Jesus Christ so you can be a generation that can bring heaven down in your world. Come on, when you pray, heaven comes down. When you walk into a place, the atmosphere changes. Come on. When people try to shut you up, you will not be shut up because you are righteous. You are bold as a lion. Come on. When people try to intimidate you, you cannot be intimidated because you know the one. When people threaten to kill you, you cannot be silenced because you know you've already died to yourself in Christ Jesus. When people try to bribe you, you cannot be bribed because you've been bought already with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You cannot sell out because you don't belong to yourself. Jesus is your everything. Oh, come on, in the name of Jesus, He is your pearl of great price. And until that doesn't happen, you will never do the greater works that Jesus speaks about. But it's that journey to the mountain that people are fearing, that people are staying away from because of entitlement and because of the sacrifice of another generation. We need to get you to the foot of the mountain. We need to get you where you don't want to be because you don't have to be there. Because right now you are blessed because of everybody else's revelation. But your children and your grandchildren who are still coming will be left barren and naked when Joshua and his generation has left this earth. Because there's not a generation that can bring fire down, that can bring the presence of God down. Oh, they can be an echo on established platforms, but they cannot bring the fire of God down. Therefore, we have to teach you now to press in and to get to know Him so that this move of God doesn't stop a generation away and neither two generations away. Am I talking to the right people here tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed, stand if you're standing. If you're at the altar kneeling, please remain. All our churches across the country, the presence of God is everywhere. You've come tonight to one of our meetings, one of our churches. God is touching you. Tonight you realize that your life is not right with God. You go to church, you read your Bible, but you have no relationship with Jesus. If you die tonight, you don't know where you would spend eternity. Maybe you served God at one time, but you've grown cold. Maybe you're sitting on the fence. And tonight you realize that you have to get back to God and you have to surrender your life to Jesus. Jesus loves you more than you'll ever know. This world will never satisfy you. The only thing that will fill the void, the emptiness in your heart is the person of Jesus. I went to church for many years, read my Bible, had no relationship with God. Then I walked into a place and Jesus was revealed and I knew that I had to get right with God. Well, every head is bowed, people praying all over our church. You should say, Pastor, tonight, I don't have peace with God. You have to open the door of your heart as a young person and realize that you're lost without Jesus, that you cannot follow Him with one foot in the world, one foot in the church. You have to give yourself to Him. Tonight, it doesn't matter what you've done. They're in Pretoria, Cape Town, Durban, Johannesburg, in all our churches across this country. They're in Namibia, Botswana. Tonight there's a stirring in your heart and you know you need to get right with God. You want to surrender your life to Jesus. Without talking much, I want to pray for you tonight. I want to give you this moment to come home to Jesus. I want to give you this moment to give your life back to Jesus, to make your peace with God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You say, Pastor, that's me. I need to get right with God. I need to make my peace with God. I need to surrender my life to Jesus. What a great honor to pray with each one of you. Just close your eyes. You are valuable. You are precious to Jesus. The many standing at all the altars, the many there in Pretoria, reach your hands out to these people. Everybody pray with us. Come on. As you give yourself back to God tonight, wherever you are here, that God will touch you and be more real to you than ever. Pray this prayer right now. Pray it out loud. God loves you. There's no guilt, no judgment. Pray this prayer right now. Say, Jesus, I give myself back to you. Thank you for loving me just as I am. I believe with all my heart you died for my sin. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive. Tonight I open my heart and I invite you to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for cleansing me with your precious blood. Thank you for your grace that saves me and keeps me now and forever. Thank you for your love that will never leave me. I give myself to you, my spirit, soul, and body. Thank you for a new beginning. Thank you that you love me just as I am. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.